Hello and welcome to Tech Marketing Trends. Today's episode have the title "The Power of Storytelling." And storytelling is such an important thing both for sales and marketing and leadership and a lot of different areas in our lives. And we will discuss this very interesting topic with a guest who is a specialist on this, Philip Hamm. Philip is the founder and principal of a storytelling consultancy with a very diverse background from Uber and Bain and Company and a lot of other companies. But he has a passion for storytelling, and he have been working now for a number of years focusing on empowering individuals and teams to communicate more efficiently, of course, using storytelling. And today's episode, we will explore how storytelling can revolutionize both marketing, how you can build rapport, brand engagement, simplifying complex narratives and things like that, but also just how to be a better colleague or a better seller or buyer or so, how you can be more communicative. With that very short introduction, welcome to today's episode, Philip. Really good to have you here. And while we start talking about the power of storytelling today, why don't you start off by talking a little bit and telling us who you are and what you're up to so far?
So my name is Philip Hamm. I'm the founder of Power of Storytelling. And what am I up to? It's pretty much giving storytelling workshops, writing books, and dancing lots of bachata and zouk. I don't know if people know that, but it's this Brazilian rather sensual dance. So that's pretty much my life in a nutshell.
Wonderful. And I think also it's nice to just mention that you now are residing in Medellin in Colombia, at least for today as well.
That's right. I've been here the past 1.5 months. I usually live in the Netherlands, but I just tried to escape January, February to one, obviously escape the weather, which is just shit during that time. But also the other thing is to just get some more inspiration. Every time that I go to these new places, I meet another bunch of fellow entrepreneurs or people that do something similar. And it's just great to get new ideas, new energy, and ready to start the, then the remainder of the year.
Fantastic. Yeah, it inspires just to hear that. And you are a storytelling expert. You have made that to your full-time profession. Not only that, you also built a company around it and you have written books about it and so forth. So we will definitely dive into this today. And I think there's so many applications for me and for our clients and listeners that are typically both entrepreneurs, managers in leading roles, of course, where you need to communicate to your company and employees and clients, but also as marketeers and sales professionals, there's so many angles of storytelling, both from a content perspective, from a sales perspective, and so forth. So, yeah, where do we start? What would you think is a good story to tell, if we start at the top?
You mean in terms of how to structure them or what makes a good story?
Yeah, what makes a good story and how to structure it? I think that's a good starting question.
Let's start with the structure because that's usually the foundation of any story. So first, when we're talking about stories, we're talking about these 1 to 2 minute stories, short stories that you would use in a meeting or in a sales conversations to build a connection or to stand out. And now structure obviously matters a lot because that's very much the foundation of your story. And I know there's a lot of different ideas of what a structure should be. Should it be the 5-step story structure, the 17-step story structure from a hero's journey? Here's what I think. At the end, you have 1 or 2 minutes to share a story, so it has to be a simple but very effective story structure. I've developed a story structure called CART, so CART, and consists of 4 steps. So it is context, adversity, resolution, and takeaway. Would it be helpful if I walk through the different steps of what is pretty much essential for each one of
Yes,
them?
please let us know what's behind those words, those letters.
Okay, so context is about giving some rough context, right? Where and when does it take place? Who's the main character? And what is that main character up to? You can start pretty much all of your stories just by stating these 1 or 2 sentences at the beginning. So I start most of my stories just saying, hey, October 2017, I'm in my apartment in Amsterdam doing X, Y, and Z. And then I tell a little bit more about what that character wants, but that's it. What the problem in business storytelling is oftentimes that people just give way too much context. They go into a 5-minute context, which is not needed. So just share a little bit about the when, where, and who, and you're done. Then you relatively quickly want to move into the second step, which is adversity. And that's really, what is the challenge that that main character is facing? What's that maybe difficult decision, that other person, the physical challenge, that emotional challenge, whatever it is. It can be any challenge as long as it's substantial to that main character. And now, I know sometimes in business, we're just talking about the successes, right? If you share a story that doesn't have a challenge or doesn't have that adversity, it's a pretty lousy story. So you definitely want to make sure to include that step, because that's the most important part of the story. And that's also the part where you want to go deep into the emotions, like really let us feel the struggle. So adversity, very important. Once you've talked about that challenge or adversity, in the third step, go into the resolution. So what does the main character do to overcome that challenge? What are the actions, reactions, decisions taken to overcome that problem? And also then, how does it turn out at the end? What's the outcome, right? What is the result of the story? That just ties together this story beautifully, wraps it up in one piece. Now, when it comes to business storytelling, you need one more step, because right now, step 1, 2, 3, well, that you can use for any story that you tell as well in personal life. But the last step, the takeaway, the fourth step, that's the most important one if you want to make it relevant for your business audience. So the takeaway is really, what is the one thing that you learned from that experience? What's the one takeaway? And we're focusing on one takeaway and not the 10 takeaways, because if you share 10 takeaways, well, no one is going to remember anything. So focus on one takeaway, and also how you frame it in terms of what you learned from that experience. Don't say something like, ah, the moral of the story, or you should take away from this. Why not? Because it may just, you may appear as a preacher, and no one likes that preacher, right? That tells people how to live their life. Instead, just say something like, what I learned from that experience is X, Y, and Z. It is much more subtle, but also much more inviting to your audience. So yeah, these are the four steps: context, adversity, resolution, and takeaway at the end. Card. For anyone who tries to remember it, you can either imagine a card in the supermarket where you just put all the awesome ingredients in, or if you're more of a simple person like me and just remember it rhymes on fart.
Okay, awesome. So card, that's really interesting to know. And when you train companies in, you know, becoming better storytellers in different situations, what kind of stories do you inspire your audience to pick up and train this technique on? You know, should I prepare my stories based on this, or do you think it works spontaneously in the moment, or how do you think we should apply it?
I'd say the best stories are prepared. I've seen very few times that people just crush an incredible story by not preparing. So I'd recommend to most of my clients to prepare a story 2 to 4 times before speaking it out loud, ideally sharing it once with someone that can give them feedback. I often share my stories with, I don't know, my best friend or my sisters, and then they tell me, hey, this is shit, I didn't like this, this doesn't make sense. And I'm a business storytelling coach, but I don't see it myself first. So often that validation of another person or that feedback is crucial. That being said, you can train yourself to improvise. So what I did for an extended period, I did it for 2 years. For 2 years, I sat down every single day and I asked myself, hey, what was that one story-worthy moment of the day? What was that one moment that stood out a little bit? And once I had that moment, I improvised the story on the spot. Every single day, I improvise the story. And that is, I use the structure that we just talked about, and I try to already spice it up with the things, with some of the elements that we'll talk about. But I sat down every single day and improvise the story for only 3 minutes. That way, I trained myself to think much more on the spot. So if you feel like, okay, I want to improvise more stories and I want to just pull them out without preparing them, well, you want to go through this phase where you improvise them on a consistent basis to get yourself used to that.
So if I'm, you know, doing a presentation or something, the most effective thing is if I can, you know, train myself to deliver that story well prepared and so forth. But what kind of stories do you typically recommend your clients to do this developmental research on? And in what instances is it typically most used?
Yeah, it depends a little bit on the audience, but I understand that your audience is mostly sellers, marketeers, and maybe some leaders, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say there are three stories that all three of these categories can use, these groups. The first one are connection stories. These are short, tiny stories when you meet someone. Example, when someone comes to you and asks you, "Hey, Jacob, how are you?" Instead of saying, "Oh yeah, the weather here in Sweden is better now, the sun is shining," instead of talking about the weather, share something personal about yourself. Share a tiny anecdote about an interesting fact, something that happened to you, something that is a little bit more interesting in the past few days that shows a little bit more about you as a human. And so when someone asks you, "How are you?" give that a try. And it's maybe like a 30-second challenge, right? Or 30-second story, that's it. But these ones are usually very powerful. Let me think if I can give you a quick example. Let's just try it out. Do you want to ask me how are you?
Yeah, how are you, Philip?
Good. Yesterday, I'm a little bit mixed feelings, right? Because I've been here the past few weeks. And now this chapter, Medellin, is getting to an end. And on the one hand, I'm excited to see my friends and my family. And on the other hand, I'm sad because I love it here. It's such a livable city. Anyway, what about you? What was the last bigger, let's say, change in location that you did, and how was that for you? By the way, no need to respond right now. But see,
excellent example.
If someone asks me, "How are you?" and this, right, was fully improvised, right? It wasn't a big story, wasn't a great story, but it's just something that helps you connect with me. And the most important part, what you see there as well, I then bring it back with a relatable question. I ask you, "Hey, what about you? When was the last time? Blah, blah, blah." And that way, we can start already a conversation on a much deeper level than just talking about the weather.
Yeah, that's so true. Very interesting. And you instantly remember the meeting as, that's the guy from Medellin.
Exactly.
And he's coming back tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's so nice. So connection stories, that's the first category then.
That's the first one. And they're very powerful because you can use them in every single meeting or every single time you see someone, you can use these stories, whether in business or outside of business. And
just a follow-up question quickly there. Do you see any difference in, I mean, we have so many Zoom and Teams meetings these days. Do you apply it differently live or on a virtual call?
I don't see a difference whether live or virtual. I use them in the same way, and they are very effective because especially they are not big stories. You can use them easily in a virtual setting. If you share, let's say, a 5-minute story, well, it's usually a little bit easier if you do that live. But these tiny stories, hey, virtually work phenomenally.
Great. That way you need to do it in our Teams meetings.
Okay. Yeah. Give it a try. And for anyone, it's the least risky form of storytelling that you can do to build trust. There's no other way how you can try it that easily and reap massive benefits from that. I've been doing that now for years, and I'd say 8 out of 10 times, I have a beautiful interaction after that. Maybe 2 out of 10 times, I have a neutral reaction or interaction, but I've never had a situation where it didn't land well at all. So just give it a try and see for yourself where it takes the conversation.
That's interesting. So what's the next category?
Mm-hmm. The next category, and that's relevant for all of the three again, it's these classic success stories, right? The customer success stories. And that's a story about a specific customer, a person, not a company, a specific person that had a problem and that you helped or your product helped to overcome that problem. And that's a typical success story about you just helping your customer. And that's a very common one, both for leaders or for sellers, for marketeers, anyone. Because that's at the end the stories that most people care about. Can you solve their problems? And so that these ones are very relevant ones.
Interesting. Do you have an example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me give it a thought. What type of example would you have? Just one of mine or? Okay.
Just top of your mind.
For example, one of mine was recently I worked with a customer success manager in Canada, and She joined the call, and it was this very high bundle of energy, right? Very, very extroverted, super charismatic. And as I saw her, I thought, wow, crazy. This woman is so charismatic. How am I supposed to help her? Well, she asked her a few minutes in to share a story. And in the moment I asked her to share this story, this entire bundle of energy just collapsed. Like, she immediately got nervous. She started speaking like this. You saw a huge change. After that, I asked her, hey, what's going on? Why? What happened here? You're so charismatic. Why did that happen? And she just said that, yeah, the moment that she starts speaking these longer stories, she just feels judged. And it turned out that she had moved from Iraq to Canada when she was 12 years old, and that people were making fun of her English for a long time. And so when I heard this, I just knew, okay, there's no point of working on structure, on elements, that we just needed to work on her self-limiting beliefs. And so we spent the next hour working on rewriting the story that she's telling herself. And so after that 1 hour session, I asked her, hey, Ezra, do you want to share again that story? And so she went. And once she shared that story, I looked at her and I said, hey, Ezra, this was beautiful, right? This was an incredible story. You told it really well. And she just said, well, thank you, right? I knew that, well, I didn't know that this was holding me back for so many years. So thanks a lot for helping me rewrite that story. What matters is what are the stories that we tell ourselves oftentimes. It's not all the techniques around it. It's really how do we feel about ourselves and about our belief systems.
Yeah, wow. That was a beautiful story. I wish I could talk about my client projects in the same way, because that was really interesting and you got me there.
Thank you.
Fantastic. And what's the third category as well?
The third category would be around what is it that you as a company or as a person really want to communicate? Why are you so unique? What is so different about you? Why you? Why should they work with you? And what happens oftentimes, companies or people just make these empty claims. They're like, we are the market leader. We value the customer. We are here for you 24/7. All these empty abstract statements that anyone could say, that's what most people are using. And so to really bring these to life, it's good to have a story to back that up. So think, anytime that I want to make a claim in business, is there a way how I can back it up with a specific experience in time, a moment in time in your past that backs up that claim?
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think that is maybe one of the most usual but also hardest questions to answer. You know, why us? Why me? What's our differentiation? That is at least what we marketeers think a lot about, both for clients and ourselves. And how to position this offering against the category or competitors and things like that. Any general feedback or thoughts or thought process you would recommend there?
Yeah, a few things. One is probably think, what is really unique, right? If everyone in your industry claims, we're super customer focused, well, that's not really unique. Well, then to pick a claim that really differentiates yourself, I would say this is a big one. And then let the words speak for, let your story speak for your achievements. Instead of saying, we're the best company on this planet. Well, if in your story, for example, you have a customer and that is very happy, well, then bring in the dialogue, right? It's like 2 weeks later, Jacob called me and said, wow, Philip, thank you so much. This was the most incredible interview we've ever had. Example, right? So instead of saying, we are the best, share what another person said about you, because then it doesn't become that much bragging, but you're just restating the facts that another person said about you.
So really good tip there. And thanks. I can really see every company needing those kind of stories, you know, or at least benefiting from becoming better, telling them and so forth. Mm-hmm. And you train a lot of people doing this, you know, and you gave an example of a CSM that you helped become better and so forth. That was one example. But do you find other hurdles or things that make us not becoming the storytellers we could? Because I suppose a lot of us ordinary people still have good stories to tell, but we typically don't package them, or you know, maybe have the courage to tell them. Or what do you see are the biggest problems when you train people?
One problem is that they don't know how to weave their story into the conversation. So let's say they have a customer success story and they want to use it, but they just don't know how. And one way how you can do that is, let's say if we're a seller, and instead of saying at one point, ah, okay, let me share this success story to give you an idea, weave it into the conversation as naturally as possible. So for example, if we're having a conversation, and in every sales conversation, I'm asking a bunch of questions and trying to find out what problems are you dealing with? What are your major pain points? And once I've identified them, I'm like, interesting, Jacob. You know what? This reminds me a little bit of a customer I had about a year back, and they were going through very similar problems as you do right now. Would it be helpful if I share a story real quick of what they were going through? And then I go into the story. So always just share stories when there is this context. So once you hear about that other person, what they are struggling with, you then make a transition into your story and you ask them, hey, do you want to hear about that? Like, don't think that you need to force a story on anyone. You can just ask them, hey, should I share that case? And then go into your story. That usually makes the storytelling much more natural. It weaves the story into the conversation instead of making it this big performance.
Beautiful.
That's one thing that people struggle with. The other thing is just the overall confidence issue that people, just don't dare to share stories in these meetings because it's not their normal style of communication. Now, what I can say there is, I know for myself, for me, this held me back for years. My progress in storytelling was much slower because I waited for that perfect story. I'm like, I will have this perfect story for this one customer. And this story has to be the life-changing story, which is not true. If you do your work, if you prepare a story, even let's say 10 minutes, that story will already be better than 99% of the stories that other person will hear. So go out there, try out that story, get feedback, iterate from there. Just be open to be imperfect there. Because the way how you get better at storytelling is just by training yourself to tell stories. That's the only way how you can get better. And so I would suggest just get out there, right? And don't try to be perfect when it comes to storytelling. In business, you don't need perfect stories. You need good stories. And these good stories are already better than 99%.
Yeah, fantastic. So where should we pick up, you know? How do you see a sign of a good story if you haven't reflected on it before, you know?
For me, there are three elements that make any story much more interesting. And that is emotions, visual moments, and surprise. And if you want to, we can go deeper into one of them, for example, emotions. Like, so emotions, for that, I just encourage, let's say, anyone to think about a childhood memory, anything that pops to your mind. If you think about what pops to your mind, most of the times it's crazy, right? We're like, I don't know, 5 years old, 10 years old. We're really, really young. And then if you think about why do you remember that? You remember that memory because of the emotions. You don't remember it because of a data point, not because of a fact. You remember it 100% because of the emotions involved to that. So if you want to be remembered in any way in your story, and if you really want to build that connection with your audience, you got to bring in emotions. And so just to give you one technique on how you can bring in emotions, one of my favorite ways to bring in emotion to any story is by sharing the inner thoughts or the inner dialogue. We as humans have thousands and thousands of thoughts every day. And a lot of these are pretty weird thoughts, right? We worry about all the things that are going on, all the things that, all the messed up things that could happen. We have all these hopes, dreams, fears, plans in our head. And so what you can do is when you share a story where you are the protagonist, where you're the main character, share some of the thoughts that are going on in your head. Example, if my story was about a presentation that I gave. So instead of saying, I'm very excited to give this presentation, You say, oh man, this will be good, right? My manager will see that and he will promote me on the spot because it will be such a freaking good presentation, right? These are some of the thoughts that are going on in my head. My thoughts are not these intellectual thoughts. They're a little bit crazy, a little bit weird, they're a little bit over the top. So share some of the thoughts to make it more emotional. Or for example, instead of saying, ah, this presentation went really bad, say, oh, this was a lousy presentation. Everyone will probably think that I'm stupid, that I shouldn't be here. They're probably wondering how I got this job. Do you see the difference? So I share some of these inner, raw, unfiltered thoughts that makes it immediately more emotional.
Exciting. And what's the word to it? Then emotions? What's the next step there?
The other element would be visual moments, which is very powerful. And visual moments is more the best stories transport the listeners into the story's world. If it's a good story, your listeners should see the story as in front of their eyes. They should feel the emotions of the story. It should feel as if the story was happening to them. And how do you get there? By bringing us into the visual moment of the story so that we are really part of that. Now, one strategy how you can do that, and I quickly talked about that, is to bring in the outer dialogue. So what are the exact words that another character said in the story? So for example, if you share a story about a customer, about a coworker, about anyone else, if there's more than one person involved, what are the exact words that that person used in a crucial moment of the story? So for example, during the adversity or during the challenge, instead of saying, ah, my manager or my client was very upset, say, my manager turned to me and said, what the hell was that? That was one of the worst presentations I've seen in my life. Do you see? You use the exact words in that. Or for example, if you say, oh, my customer was very happy working with me, instead of saying that, use the exact words. So you say something like, 2 weeks later, my customer called me and said, wow, Jacob, thank you so much. With your company, we've increased our revenue by 3 times. It's incredible. Thank you so much. Do you see? So you use the exact words of that moment.
Wow, yeah, it feels much more engaging and more real in there. So it's small things, but big difference. So yeah, I see what you mean there. And what was the third component of that part?
Sorry?
What was there more to it than visuals and emotions?
The last one would be a surprise. And surprise is just anything unexpected. And there's usually this good example, and marketers know that example is, imagine you live on a countryside and every single day you drive to work. And there's tons of fields passing, you see a bunch of cows, but you don't even take them in. But one day you drive the same route you do every single day. And there is this pink cow, right? You're like, whoa, pink cow. Never seen a pink cow in my life. It's crazy. You arrive at work, you tell everyone about it. It's crazy, this pink cow. You remember that day for the rest of your life. Now, that's surprise. Why do you remember that? Because it's unexpected. And that's what you want to include in your stories. So anything that your listeners didn't see coming, anything that is a little bit unusual, an unusual activity, an unusual event, an unusual reaction, whatever it is, anything that interrupts that pattern of what is expected. If you can include any elements of surprise, your story can land extremely well. I've seen some pretty lousy stories land very well just because they had a major moment of surprise in there.
A really good tip here for every story or presentation. So if I have a presentation, that is a little bit longer format, maybe I'm giving a presentation to my company or to clients or just holding a lecture of some format, what are the key elements that you need to, nail in order to get the audience to feel that, yeah, that was a pretty good speaker, I felt something. What are your recommendations on that format?
On that one, I would say usually when it comes to presentation, the intro is or the opening is very important because that's the part where your audience decides whether they want to pay attention to you or just completely zone out. And so what I recommend is if you have a presentation coming up, just spend a very large amount just cracking that opening. And that opening can consist of a hook at the beginning, and that can be a story, a surprising fact, or maybe a question. Then, second, sharing the promise to them. Hey, they're gonna listen to you the next hour. What is in it for them? So what's that big promise that you're going to make? That can be, for example, my case, okay, over the next hour, I will turn you into a magnetic storyteller. What is that big promise that you're going to make? And then you can also share an outline of how you're going to get them there. What are the tools that they'll pick up on the way? And if you include that, if you really nail that, well, then you're already really well ahead of delivering a great presentation. And then other than that, yeah, it's just, and this one is a little bit, we need more time to go deep in that, but really trying to get feel comfortable being in the spotlight. Like, how do you feel good about standing in front of others? The moment that people see you're having fun, right? You're enjoying this. Well, then they will start enjoying it as well. And they're thinking like, hey, if that person has so much fun, this will be a good session.
Yeah, maybe that's more important than I think, you know. So not focus too much to remember the exact word rather than, you know, giving it energy and having a good time. That's great. That's great. And you know, so much interesting here. And for those who want to know more about your techniques and ideas, you have written a book.
That's
Yeah.
right.
Yeah. So where can we learn more about you and your content and your book?
So my book is called The Story Selling Method. You can find it on Amazon pretty much in any country. And yeah, it's how to tell great stories, especially as a seller. I'm actually now publishing in April my second book, which is called Public Speaking with Confidence. If anyone wants to check that out, you can also find it on my website. And yeah, if you want to stay in touch, just reach out to me on LinkedIn, Philip Humm, Humm. And I'd be honored to be part of your network and hear how you're using stories in your day-to-day.
Well, thank you so much for all your tips and tricks about storytelling. I sure everybody understand that this is a really powerful area where everybody can apply those things in both ordinary life as well as in professional settings. So thank you so much, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks for having me, Jacob.